high tech stuff. She got something she didn't have last week.
That's right. So power to the heart.
Got power. She got a pacemaker running to that heart.
Now, who said that?
Gwen. Gwen's gone to the emergency room with chest pain.
Oh, no, not breathing.
Not breathing. She's not breathing.
Heart or lung.
Yeah, just
sick.
Yeah, okay.
Let's just keep her in prayer. All right, let's get started. Here we go. Hope everybody had a good week.
We did.
All right, we're not keeping bee tips today. Get that off of there.
Well, then.
Barnyard bees. That's my buddy over in Canton. We've been reading Romans 8, and we're talking about adoption last weekend. We're still in Romans 8, but we're going to continue on. And let's just go back and read it again, because I think it really is necessary. Let's start with verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage. That's what you were born with. You were born with the spirit of bondage. Because it bound you to this earth. It bound you. We're going to talk about this afternoon. Where Brother Branham talks about your soul already being resurrected. Your soul's already raptured.
Yeah.
Right. Whoa.
We just got to understand that. I'm telling you. It's in the Bible. We're sitting in heavenly places. This ain't a heavenly place.
Right.
But the Bible says we're sitting in heavenly places. We're going to find out that the very thing that's going to change our body is in the Bible. It's been in the Bible for 2,000 years. Where else do you think we're going to get it from? For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have received the spirit of adoption. Now, not adoption, the spirit of adoption. You have to be adopted into the family first before you can come into the line of adoption. Does everybody agree with that?
Amen.
All right. My brother Dale always says that God will not adopt Satan's kids. And that's right, because you don't have to.
Right.
He can't adopt Satan's kids because they're not his. You can only adopt your own children. Right? Well, we have not received the spirit of bondage, again, the fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy, Daddy. And that was our point last Sunday. When you become a newborn baby in Christ, you are a baby. You make mistakes. You crawl. You drink milk. But fortunately, there's a growth development where you got to grow up, right? And that's what this is talking about, because we are definitely heirs when we're born into the family. You become a complete heir right there. But it's like we've always said, I'm not going to give Brother Bob has got Zach. Now he can drive. Zach can drive. Why? Because he's of age. But when Zach was born, or even when he's got hit now, he's got his set of twins, beautiful little girls, got one eye on each side of their nose and got five fingers on each hand. Well, what? They're human. They have the ability to drive a car.
Right.
But you're going to give your keys to Zoe?
No.
Why? She's a human. Why? She's a human. She's your family. Huh? They're your family? It's your little girl? You see what I'm saying? That's the same thing God said.
That's right.
I ain't giving my keys to that kid.
Right.
Right? Because remember, Brother Brown said, power without character is satanic.
Amen.
They've got the power. They're human beings. They have they're intelligent. They can do things. But when you come to a place of driving a vehicle, which would be something you could really hurt somebody with if you didn't know what you were doing,
that's right.
Then you come to a place to where the world says you have to be 16 years old. I don't know where they got that from. They probably need to be about 20 or 25 before they start driving. But we have determined that they've come to a stage of maturity and there's things that they can do.
Right.
Now, they can ride in the car when they're a baby all the way up to here, but there's a point in time where you will. They're already asking for the keys. I see them. They're already asking for the keys to the car, right?
They're ready.
Every kid wants to get in the car and drive it. Like that little kid, remember that little kid not too long ago, was what, 7 or 8 years old, got in that car and started that baby up and drove her down the road. Of course, it was pretty disastrous at the end when he ran it into the trash can and the trees. But you know what, though? He had the capacity to do it, but what the government or Common sense would tell you not to give the kid a key. Same way with God. Man, if you can't get anything out of anything we're talking about, get one thing. You can see, by the things we see, God works by the things that we see.
Right.
Because we can relate to that right there. We did not give our car keys to our son until they were 16, 18, whatever, right? God's not going to give you the car keys to the Word of God until you're mature enough to handle it. And see, remember, we're not perfect, so we can make mistakes and give the car keys prematurely, but He doesn't do anything prematurely. He knows exactly when you need it.
Right, yeah.
But what you have to do is, though, you got to eat to get bigger, to grow up. You got to eat. You got to fuel your mind and fuel your body.
That's right.
To come to a place to where you don't cry, Daddy, Daddy, when you come to maturity of the Word of God. Even who was it? Somebody was preaching not too long ago. Said, Moses, why cry? That's what Moses' problem was. He said, Daddy, help me.
Yeah.
God said, shut up, speak. Okay. Same thing with all that beautiful honey. Man, that's makes me hungry. But we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy, Daddy. So we are in line of adoption if we're born again.
Yes.
Okay? I want to ask you a question. It came to me the other day. Why did the Bible say that Jesus was the Bible calls it a thing, the thing that was formed in Mary, why did it have to be by the Holy Ghost? I thought God was His Father. I thought the Father produced them.
The Holy Ghost is the Father.
Huh?
The Holy Ghost is the Father.
Not in that point. It's not. No. We know they're the same person. We're not Trinitarians.
Right.
But the reason it was the Holy Ghost is because that's the only way you can get birth.
Oh. Okay.
It's by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Preach it, brother. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. We know it was the Father. We know that. But listen, why did the Bible not say the Father will come to you and you'll conceive and bear a child?
Right.
He said the Holy Ghost is going to come and overshadow you. And we know it. We know the life came from the Father. But the Holy Ghost, and then see, you and I, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we receive the Holy Ghost Himself, the person of God. We know that. But still, it makes it so simple that God used the Holy Ghost to birth Himself, Jesus. Right. So He's going to use the Holy Ghost to birth His children. Amen? Okay? Am I all right with that?
Kind of something to think about,
but you don't look at it and you go, well, why did He say that? Because remember, you know what struck me? When Brother Branham uses his analogy of the Trinity, he goes to that scripture. And he said, now it says here Mary was found with a child of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, now when Jesus grows up, well, I like this. When Jesus grows up, he says, my Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Trinitarians now, they have three, they got Jesus and they got the Holy Ghost and they got the Father. Okay? But Brother Brown is explaining it's the same person. But remember, it's position.
Right.
Listen, Jesus Christ is not on the earth today in a physical form.
Right.
He's in the form of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Amen.
In the people to what? To birth us just like He was birthed.
Right.
Because remember, He was birthed right the first time. You and I were birthed wrong the first time, what I'm looking at now.
Okay.
But to be birthed or born again, we have to be birthed by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Same way Jesus came. Because look, the reason that struck me is because look right here. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means whatever He gets, we get. So if He got birthed by the Holy Ghost, we get birthed by the Holy Ghost. Then that makes us have the same Father. Everybody all right with that? It just gives a little more understanding to what's going on. And you know, you get these little tidbits, and it opens up a whole new world. Because you know, last Sunday I was preaching on how that Jesus Christ didn't restore all things. you know, I kind of felt a little, can you prove he did? I proved it in the scripture. He said he didn't.
Right.
He didn't restore all things.
Exactly.
Jesus made a way for it to be restored.
Right.
You want me to prove it again?
No.
Jesus walks out of the tomb and he says, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. All power. I can move through dimensions. I can take this flesh body. Because remember, Satan had just a little bit of hold. I tried to find a quote, but Brother Branham had this one quote where he says, Satan had a hold of that. Because remember, he disputed the body of Moses. So he has what we call dibs, or a tag of this body. Because when it was born, because Satan comes to Jesus and said, if you be the Son of God, dash, you're going to fall off the building and all this stuff. He really didn't get it. But when Jesus walked out of that tomb and he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, I told Luis Wednesday night, we were talking about this, why didn't he just move over into another dimension and take the devil's head and go, see you later, buddy?
Yeah.
Why didn't he do that?
Right.
If he was to restore all things.
Yeah. That's right.
He needed a bride.
Needed
a bride to defeat the devil with.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it's him through the... But why didn't he? When he said all power, so everything was given to him, he could have walked over and said, devil, this is your last moment. Say goodbye. He could have done that. Because remember, when he goes to the lake of fire, who puts him in the lake of fire? Let's go back. Because remember, y'all hear this again this afternoon. But I believe it's lovely because Satan is not a human. He's an angel.
Yes, sir.
Right.
The Bible says we will judge angels.
Right.
We'll talk about it a little bit. To be continued. The rest of the story will be this afternoon. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we are the children of God when we're born. But we're still babies. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, what? The Father.
Mm-hmm.
And joint heirs with Christ. So whatever Christ got, we got. He got a body change, we get a body change. He gets a resurrection, we get a resurrection. Whatever Jesus got is what we got.
Amen.
Do we really believe that?
Yes.
We better start believing it.
Yes.
Right? Because that's the only way we're going to have a resurrection.
Amen.
If not, believe it's coming. It's what we were talking about, me and June this morning coming from church. We were listening to, what was it? 106.1 anyway, the Gospel Grace.
Okay.
They were talking about one day the trump's going to sound and the graves are going to open up. And the trump's already sounded.
Right.
But see, their idea or their denomination or that horse rider has rode through their life telling them that one day, and it's like the Walking Dead, you know. It's horrible that Satan has given them this. And it's false.
Right.
It has no truth to it at all. It's false.
Right.
But they live by it. That's why I said thank God for truth.
Amen.
We know that the shout, the voice, the trump, all that. We got the message.
Amen.
The trumpet will not come from Jesus coming. What they're thinking is we don't have enough power to do anything, so we got to wait for Jesus / Brother Branham. If you want to talk about people thinking about Brother Branham, you've got to come back. / Brother Branham has got to come back and give us something extra to give us that little oomph.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
The oomph came in 1,100 sermons. Brother Brown said, wrapped in faith lies in the books and the tapes, not something coming, something that's even that. Right? So everybody all right with that? But we'll come. The voice of the resurrection will come from the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We know it's Christ.
Amen.
Right.
But why didn't he just get everybody out? You know, some of the saints did raise, some of the Old Testament saints. I don't understand why some of them did and some of them didn't. I don't understand that. But when we come down to the very end of this thing, I'm going to read you a quote, not in here, but upstairs, where Brother Brown reads that scripture about judging. He said, you will judge each other.
Yes.
Because when those books are open in Revelation 20 or 21, there's a host of people with that book. And how are they going to be judged? People are going to be judged by you.
Yes.
That's the only judgment there is judgment by what somebody has proclaimed. And then you'll be the judge of it. No, that's good. No. Why did it? Now, one more time. Why didn't Jesus just, when he come up out of that grave, he go, devil, sinners, saints, come out of the ground. It don't work that way.
Right. Brother,
that would be too easy.
Right.
Yes, sir.
No way. And then, of course, Brother Branham, he comes in and confirms that in the church age book where he says Jesus didn't complete his ministry here on earth.
That's right.
It takes now
right.
us to complete the other part.
See, I never thought about that, too, until the other day when even I read it where Jesus was on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. If you heard the sermon, you heard what I said. You don't read that in the book. But Brother Brown said Moses and Elijah was telling there was something Jesus didn't know about his second coming.
Yeah.
Well, see, because all power in heaven and earth has not been given to him. Listen, God had a human brain.
Amen.
Right.
When Jesus was here on earth, he had a white matter human brain, just like me and you, and he had to work in that. That was his box at that time. In humanity, he had to work in that humanity. Because he never said all power in heaven and earth is given unto me until he come out of the grave with a glorified body, right? So Moses and Elijah was telling him about what? His second coming. Now why do you need to know about his second coming? Man, this guy's supposed to know everything. He's an eternal God. He was Jesus, the human man.
That's right.
Because right here is joint heirs. If it was Jesus Christ, the superhuman man, which we know he was, listen. But he's certain things he couldn't do. Remember, he had to leave a city because of their unbelief. He couldn't heal them. If you think if me and you, man, if that was God Almighty in human flesh, you just walk in a room and go, everybody's healed. Mm-hmm. That don't work. God don't work that way. He works through human beings.
Amen.
That's his whole basis is to defeat Satan. Because remember, Lucifer and Michael fought. He didn't kill Satan. He defeated him. There's a time when he'll be destroyed.
That's right.
So what's going to happen here? A potential destruction is going to happen. Satan's going to move out of this, and we're going to take a body change.
Right.
But now Satan's still going to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Until all judgment is finished. Then who's going to stand in judgment? He's going to stand in judgment. Who's the judge? The saints shall judge the world. The world. The saints will judge the world, and we will even judge angels.
That's right.
I'll read scripture. I got it right here in my notes. But you see, what we look at. Sometimes we look at things and we go, "Well, God is this limitless God." Well, He is, and it's in the form of the eternal. Even the Creator, though, He come down to walk with Adam and Eve. Why didn't He just stop the fall? You know, thought about that? He's Almighty God. He knew that was going to happen. The day He put Adam and Eve in human flesh, He knew they were going to sin.
Right.
But He never said, all right, now y'all going to sin.
Yeah.
So I want y'all to know that wouldn't be free moral agency.
Right. That's right.
That wouldn't be free moral agency. Right. God had to allow that to happen so that He could come and be a redeemer and make a way for Elijah to restore all things. Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says Elijah shall truly come and restore all things. We know it's the ministry of Jesus Christ. I'm not, you understand, I'm not throwing Him out or belittling it, but I'm telling you how it works.
Right, right.
So that we can understand things. Like the Holy Ghost overshadowing Mary. That, to me, it's a great revelation so you can see what God did to me and you, because it wouldn't be heirs and joint heirs if it didn't come that way. Because
right.
Really, you're not joint heir with Christ unless you're born again.
Amen.
Okay, does everybody understand that? Because an heir means you're in the family.
Right.
So, in other words, what I'm saying is, see that really debunks I'm going to try to put this easy, the false doctrine that Jesus was just a man until the River Jordan. Well, if He was, then He was a sinner like me and you.
Right, exactly.
No way, Jose. We're joint heirs with Christ because we're born again of the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Ghost. His Spirit was the Spirit of God. The Spirit that was the Holy Ghost. Because look, if so then we suffer with Him, that we may be what? Glorified together. We will stand one day, I promise you. You'll stand one day in your humanity and you'll say, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me.
Amen.
If He said it, then you're going to be able to say it. And then what's going to happen is all the other heirs are going to come out of the ground. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in Jesus.
In us.
What did I say?
In us.
Oh. That proves my point again. Hey. That's all right. Long that fan keeps running, I'm sweating up here. But it's going to be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, or the creation, and for those of you that got Tecarta, did you notice they upgraded? Now you've got these little, like Schofield has the footnotes in the middle. Because if you touch that G, guess what? Looky. Creation! They just upgraded about probably a month ago that you can do that now. I love it. See, you got your here, vanity. Footnote. Futility. I like my Tecarta Bible. Brother Matthew Bray loves his too. I get turned him on to it, so he enjoyed it. For the creature or creation, expectation that waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity. Why? Not willingly. The world didn't fall willingly. It fell because the top dog, Adam and Eve, did what they did. When they fell, everything fell underneath them. All right? But by the reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. In other words, Christ had to come the second Adam to bring it back. Because the creature or creation itself also shall be delivered. So if you want, if we got aches and pains in our body, but if you see all these tsunamis and you see all these earthquakes and you see all these things going on, it's mine and your fault. Because when we come to full restoration, that'll all stop. I said when we. Christ is already there. Jesus Christ is already at full restoration. He is himself, one man. That's why no man has reached immortality except what? One man, Christ. Right? But that scripture will be expanded when it happens to me and you.
Amen.
Okay? For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, what, by the fall, but by reason of him that subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's the whole thing we're seeing is corruption. See, even Jesus' body was corrupted. It didn't corrupt in the grave, but it was getting old. Your body's corrupting. That's why to me, Satan didn't have a... I mean, Satan had a problem looking at Jesus. Listen, Satan took him up on a hill. Satan took him to the synagogue. Satan took him places. And he said, man, you're getting old. You're getting old. I believe God hid all that from the devil. The devil saw enough of it, though, to go into Herod and all these different ones to try to kill the babies. But he couldn't do it because God was hiding himself in simplicity. Somebody ought to preach a sermon on that. God hiding himself. What was that? Because the creature itself, I thought we were going to get to the end of the chapter, but I guess not, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. All right, you and I. For we know, Paul, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We can say that now. That was 2,000 years ago. We can say that now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. First fruits of the Spirit is what? The first fruits to come to maturity. Paul came to maturity in his age. His spot, his box. He came to maturity in his box, but that's not full maturity. You and I are full first fruits. Because you and I are first fruits of the resurrection. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves. And don't you? I mean, you know, the Bible says that the only way you can tell if a person's born again is for you sigh and cry for the abomination done in the city. We sigh and cry for the things that go around the world that's happening to all these people, and we know that it's because we are not come to maturity to be able to, and you're not going to be able to help everybody, but we will be able to be so much of a witness till, like Brother Brown said, they'll go, the foolish virgin, they're going to come and ask us for the oil because we're the wise virgin. They know where to go. Why? Because they know the sign that they have the oil. The wise virgins have the oil. So the foolish virgins that don't have the oil, they don't go to Walmart to look for oil. They come to the five wise virgins to try to get oil from them. So they know where to go. I believe we'll have signs and wonders, but it won't be a public show, so you don't think you can go stand on the street corner and heal everybody who drives by a car in a car. No, it's just not going to happen.
Right?
Because remember, everybody's got their own idea about the third pull, but Brother Brown told us the third pull is the opening of the Word, the apex, this part.
Right, yeah.
This part.
Amen.
The opening of the Word that nobody's had before. And it makes us Word more bright. It doesn't make us, you know, like Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and even Brother Brown. That's all. They have their box. They're gone. They're waiting on us to get them out of the ground.
The oil is the Holy Spirit, right?
Hmm?
The oil is...
Yes, the oil is the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so if the foolish virgin have the oil on their spirit, we have it in our soul.
We have it in possession. They have an anointing, yes. But it's not inside. It's not something they can possess. It hasn't become a possession. To the wise virgin, it's a possession. You're actually not. You actually don't have oil. You are the oil. You are the oil. You're the oil they poured in the lamps, and even in the Old Testament. Y'all remember a long time ago when I preached a sermon about the bride is not a type.
Right.
The bride's not a type, people. The whole Bible types us.
Amen.
We're not a type. You say, "Oh, I'm a type of Christ." No, if you're a type of Christ, you can be the devil. Hello? That's right. That's what Satan wanted to be. If we are not God made manifest, then we're a second person, and that makes us the devil. All right? So we got to see ourselves in the Word.
Amen.
And be the Word.
Amen.
That's why when we're going to get into the Son of Man, the Son of Man is the Word made flesh. Well, what are you and I? We're the Word made flesh.
Right.
We're literally this Word. Literally this Word made flesh. Walking on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said last Sunday, we keep talking about things, and if we keep prophesying about things, we're going to die. Because
right.
Prophets have to die.
That's right.
Even the greatest prophet that ever lived on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ, the prophet, he had to die.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll come a group of people that will not be a prophesying group of people. So that's what's happened. Now, even in the denominational world, well, Grandma says, well, you know, 20 years from now, Jesus may come. Then 20 years later, Jesus may come. What? She's prophesying. She dead. She died. They died. He who prophesied must die. You and I are not, we are prophetic people.
Yeah. Yes.
But we're not all prophets.
No.
Because if you prophesy, you'll die.
That's true.
You show me one that didn't. This whole Bible's full of prophecy.
Yes.
And every person that wrote this Bible had to die.
Right.
Sometime, somewhere. Right? Right? But the resurrection is a live group of people.
Amen.
Not a dead group, a live group of people. But we know the whole creation growth and travails and pain together till now. And not only they, for ourselves also which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we within ourselves, growing within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, or to witness, are to understand the redemption of the body.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're understanding it now, because the problem with everybody is here you stand, and 65 million miles away, you say, I can have my body changed. That's the truth. Just like what I said, Grandma said, well, I ain't coming now, but the Lord's coming. That's what I was telling you when we're coming down the road. All the whole world thinks that God's just going to come on this one certain day, and He is. But man, look at all the things they miss. They miss the trumpet, the shout, the voice. They miss the first resurrection. Or our first resurrection. Jesus was the first. But our first resurrection, the whole world misses it. The whole world misses the bride leaving. The whole world. Nobody understands that. Now, after it happens, there'll be a group of people that'll try. Brother Brown said they'll have to be killed because of what they believe. They're going to try. They're going to see they've been told wrong. Because there is two resurrections. But this one they miss. They're all looking at the general resurrection. Even Martha, when we were reading the scripture about, oh yeah, Lord, we know in the general resurrection in the last day that Lazarus will resurrect. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Martha, what in the world is your problem? Well, I know what her problem was. She didn't have the Holy Ghost. If she'd had the Holy Ghost, she could have stood right beside Jesus and said, I am too.
That's right.
But at that moment, in the box they were in, but now it can happen. For we are saved by hope. We explained that last week. I ain't got time to do that right now. But we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What is the hope? Is part of faith. Because remember, you have to have faith for something you can't see. But when Abraham had the baby, when him and Sarah had the baby, he didn't have to believe for a child no more.
Right.
See, that's what you and I have got to come to. Because Abraham actually prophesied that he's going to have a baby. Well, one day he had the baby. But now remember, too, he physically died later on.
Yes.
Promise was fulfilled. Now, we've seen promises fulfilled.
Yes.
And they're eternal promises. But the person, you understand what I'm saying? The person that prophesied had to die.
Yes.
Right.
We are prophetic. We have prophetic insight. But you and I are not prophets. We're a little Messiah. Yeah, sure, all those things go together. But we are not prophets. If we are a prophet, we are saying something. Listen, you got to get back to where Jesus never said, thus saith the Lord. Now, Brother Branham even said, thus saith the Lord. You can't say, thus saith the Lord, and take a body change. That's prophesying. Because the Bible doesn't say, if you say, thus saith the Lord, this mountain will be moved. The Bible said, if you say.
Right.
I heard a preacher not too long ago, and I really enjoyed what he said. He said, that didn't say, if you were a Christian. It didn't put any stipulation at all. It just said, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and doubt not doubt in your heart, it'll come to pass. That's why human man can do stuff. You see, human men can do stuff.
Yeah.
Or women too.
I saw that one time. The Bible says lay hands on the sick.
Sure.
It said you don't have to be Christian.
Nope.
It put no stipulation on
that. Lay hands on the sick.
That's why a Christian can lay their hands
that's
on
right.
somebody.
Yep. That's correct. And we've seen it happen many times.
Right.
If you'll notice, a lot of times Brother Dale will walk by and he'll lay his hand on you and he'll talk to you or something. Well, you know what he's doing?
Yeah.
I hope you do, because I've had it happen to me a couple of times. You needed something and...
Right.
See, that's what I mean. I'm just not for this, and it's on the internet. I'm not for this shouting and jerking their hair off and throwing them on the floor and you know, God's not deaf.
No doubt.
God is not deaf. He don't need you. Listen, Jesus never raised his voice to the devil.
Right.
Now, the demons were screaming. I read it yesterday. The tomb. No, help me. Legion.
Yeah.
Oh, they were, why are you here before your time?
Right.
Can we go on the swine? Jesus said, go. Go. He didn't go, And I'm sorry. Prayer lines are fine. But... did you get something at the end of it? Or did you just get an emotion? Jesus never did that. And you watch Brother Branham in a prayer line. He never done the same thing. He would actually just lay his hand, or he would never even lay his hands. He'd say, all right, sister. He never raised his voice. Never did he raise his voice.
When he would get quiet, he wouldn't hear nothing on the tape. Matter of fact, he would lower his voice.
Sure.
And say, Satan.
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. We do all this screaming and pulling, and I mean, we've done it. Slapped them on the ground and shook them, and, you know, hairpins flying everywhere.
Yeah.
And it may have got the person something,
right.
But that's not the way it's supposed to be done.
Right.
That's not the way we were. You know what that come from? Pentecost.
Yes, it does.
That come from the waving of the leaves, like we were talking about last Sunday. That did not come from, I didn't say it didn't come from God. All healing comes from God. All right, so don't get me wrong. But that is not the proper way. Because we're not going to watch the prophets of Baal. What did? They cut themselves, jumped all over the place for hours to get their God to come. Elijah walks up and says, pour the water on. He said, God, if you be the God, in other words, the God of Israel, show yourself. Brother Brown said Elijah had already had a vision that it was going to happen, so he had a lot of faith. You know, you have a lot of faith when God shows you a vision that's already going to happen. I mean, that's, to me, that's just common sense. When God shows you a vision that tomorrow that you're going to be driving down the road and you see this car coming, and for you to pull over, and then they have this massive wreck in front of you, and then tomorrow you go to the same place and you pull over and that massive wreck happens. I mean, I'm not fear. You got fear? I don't have no fear. I fear when I don't see something.
Yeah.
Right? That's what our fear comes from. Because that's what? Hope that is seen is not hope. Because it's there. I don't hope I'm at church today. I'm standing here.
Right.
I don't even have faith that I'm going to be at church. But we do. We have patience. Those of us that need it. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Hmm. Let's see what that says. Perseverance. Those who endure
to the
end.
Do the wait.
Do
that wait.
Oh.
Well, we've got a toy now. Eagerly wait.
Amen.
What this is, though, this is the original. This is the original Greek. This part right here. This is your interpretation. This is your King James Version. And then what in the original, it says eagerly wait. I brought my concordance, and it should say eagerly wait. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We all have infirmities. Strand just went through an infirmity. We all go through infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes you don't know how to pray.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Sometimes you really just don't know how to pray.
That's right. That's right.
For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But watch. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, inside yourself. How many times, some of you have been woke up before, I've been woke up a couple of times, a person's come on my mind, pray for them, and you found out they was having a hard time.
Right.
Sister Cleta did it with Dad, you know, called him and said, you know, couldn't get in touch with him. But see, there's things working inside of us that a lot of times we don't see it. Remember what I told you last Sunday about the garden? You know, you plant the seed, you cover it up, and you go out there and you stand there for, you know, 5 days in a row, and you don't see anything. Well, that don't mean nothing going on.
That's right.
Underneath there, that seed's got to absorb moisture.
That's right.
Crack open. That thing's got to curl out of its shell.
That's right.
All that's working, and you don't see nothing in the earth that it's been put in.
Right.
Sometimes you don't see it, but all of a sudden,
it's growing both ways.
Yes, it's growing both ways. It's growing roots. Thank you, Sister Preacher.
And sometimes
my
girl. It comes out with it. You know what that means?
What?
You put that on, you know, and they'll go to being ground.
Fred, hang on. She's trying to explain.
The rapture is a secret.
Yes.
Even though graves open up.
Yeah, they're not going to be.
They don't. So are the bodies changed? They can go through the wall once they come up. So they could come up through the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's why we'll get into that. When we get into who is this Melchizedek? Brother Brown explains it very, 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 very well. I mean, he don't leave anything. The Spirit comes and picks up the body, or the soul picks up, theophany he calls it, picks up the body. That body ain't coming out of the ground without equipment. Well, that body's dead. And there's a lot of people that's already gone back to dust. Okay, but they're underneath. That's why that, if you'll see what I'm saying, we're going to read it. We read it a couple of Sundays ago, just to give you a little teaser, that we're planted, the Bible says we're planted in corruption. When we go put somebody in the grave, we plant them back into the earth.
Exactly.
But they're raised in incorruption.
That's right.
So what comes out of that ground ain't what went in.
That's right.
Think of what's happening. That theophany is going to come back and change that literal body they lived in.
Yes, right.
To a young person again. They're going to step out. They don't have to, metaphorically, yeah, they'll come out of the ground, step their foot on the earth. But no, it's changed. It's just like that. They'll get that body and they'll come walking through the doors or through the walls or whatever with no resistance. So, it's not going to be, a lot of it's not going to be what we even think now. It's just going to be, but we're developing into, the children are developing to where they can understand what Daddy's already said.
Exactly.
Right? So that's what the Bible says. We plant them in corruption, and that's the truth. We put them in the ground. There's not a person went in the ground that didn't have a corrupt body except Jesus, and it would have corrupted if he'd have left it in there another day.
Right.
Because Lazarus was in there 4 days, and his body was already stinking, they said. Okay? But that didn't harm. See, we look and we think, oh, this body change thing's all new. No, next Sunday, I believe, or the next Sunday after that, we're going to talk about all these body changes. Enoch had to have a body change.
Right.
Somewhere, because he ain't in this dimension. And you can't take this flesh into another dimension. You can't do that.
Right.
Even Brother Branham's flesh couldn't go into that other dimension.
Right.
It had to stay in the bed. There had to be a separation there. So that's a lot of things we'll get into, and we're not going to get finished with this, so let's go.